You saw that notice that we received from the water company, the Manilad. They told us no water from 2 a.m. today until midnight tonight. And when I saw that, I said, oh, even Manilad is following the liturgy, because today is a day to go into the desert. And what defines the desert is no water. So here we are in the desert. We are at the very beginning of the season of Lent, and today's gospel tells us why we are doing this, or some of the reasons why we're doing it. We're doing it because we are followers of Jesus, and Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. We fast because Jesus fasted. We enter into this combat because Jesus entered into this combat with Satan. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and this is the beginning of our Lenten journey. Now, we might say to ourselves, we don't want to go into a desert. We don't want to fast. We don't want to experience temptation. Well, we don't have any choice. We live in a desert world. We experience temptation because that's part of being free. Only free creatures can be tempted. Why is that? Because without freedom, we can't make any decisions. And if we can't make any decisions, then we can't be tempted to do something that's not good. We have to have freedom. And if we have freedom, then we're going to be put to the test. Jesus, of course, he could not sin, but by entering into the human condition, he entered into the experience of being invited to sin. So he did this for us. He took on temptation for us. And we shouldn't forget, he defeated temptation. He overcame temptation for us. He conquered the devil for us. That's why this passage about the temptations in the desert is not a discouraging one, it's an encouraging one. What Jesus reveals here is that it's possible to resist temptation, it's possible to have victory over the devil. There are three categories of temptation. It doesn't mean these are the only temptations we have. In fact, we might not immediately be able to identify these temptations ourselves, because we can't turn stones into bread, and we're not tempted to throw ourselves off of buildings, and we don't think that we can be the rulers of the whole world. So it's not exactly the same, but the categories they apply to all of us. The Pope describes them this way. The three temptations: the temptation of greed for possessions, the temptation of human vainglory, and the temptation of the exploitation of God. So greed for possessions, the hunger, and all the hungers of our nature, that the temptation is that we will satisfy them in a way that's outside the will of God. The second one, what the Pope calls human vainglory, That's the temptation of power, that we can be in charge. This is what we see on display in Ukraine right now. Putin is showing the world what vainglory does. There's no end to what we will grasp if we're set on power. So when the devil says, "I have all the kingdoms of the world," And you can have them. Of course, it's not true. He's lying. But that temptation is a very powerful one. And when people get more power, they tend to desire more power. So very powerful people are especially susceptible to this temptation. There's an advantage in being weak, isn't there? Because when we're weak and poor, we don't think that we can control the world. Anyway, that's the second. And then the third temptation, the Pope says, is the exploitation of God. That is the idea that we can decide what God will do. It's really the temptation that Adam and Eve faced in the beginning, that and what we all face, is that we can decide what's right and what's wrong, which is certainly not true. I'd like to focus, though, on this first temptation, the temptation to turn a stone into bread. This comes to mind because earlier this week, I ran across an article, and I wish I could find it. I really looked for it last night. I couldn't find it. So I don't know where it came from. Anyway, in the article, it said that it was referring to a insight of St. Thomas Aquinas. And he said that, this author said, St. Thomas Aquinas says that the reason why Jesus was able to overcome the temptation to turn stones into bread is because he was fasting for 40 days. So, in other words, the fasting strengthened his determination not to give in to hunger. Now, when I read that, I was really surprised because it's exactly the opposite of what we usually think. And most people interpret this passage about Jesus fasting to be that he's more vulnerable after 40 days. Because if you don't eat for 40 days, you're really hungry. And I've always interpreted this to mean the devil will attack us in our weak spot. And when we're down, that's when he moves in. He can see where we're more likely to fall. But this passage of St. Thomas, if it was quoted properly, is that, no, it was the fasting that actually made him stronger, not weaker. Well, what is it? Are we stronger because we're fasting, or are we weaker because we're hungry? I think something to think about, and maybe I'm not the best person to be able to talk about this, but what came to my mind was something that we learned when we were studying about the addictive process. One of the ways that the counselors try to help addicts is to help them recognize what causes them to fall back into the addiction. And they have this acronym, maybe you've heard this, HALT, H-A-L-T, you ever heard of this? Hungry, angry, lonely, tired, H-A-L-T. Four states which tend to make us more vulnerable. You don't have to be an alcoholic to know that this is just good human psychology. When we're hungry, we're more likely to be tempted to grab something just to fill ourselves. When we're angry, we're more easily tempted to lash out or react in a sinful way. When we're lonely, we're more likely to try to fill ourselves with some affirmation or some companionship, even if it's sinful. And when we're tired, well, our defenses are down and we might fall into some other sin. So HALT. Now, the reason why they use this acronym is to say, well, if you're not aware of your being hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, well, then you're likely to relapse into your addiction. So hungry, let's just stop with the hungry. Not hungry meaning the physical hunger, but also the longing that we have for satisfaction on many levels. So, okay, which is it? Are we more vulnerable when we're hungry, or are we stronger when we're fasting? And the answer is both. We just have to understand why. When we're hungry, according to this is more psychology, but it's also good spiritual principle. It means when we're not attentive to our legitimate needs and we're not taking correct care of ourselves, or we're not aware of our needs, then we're likely to be caught off guard. This is true of all four of these. These are not just physical states, but also emotional states. When we're hungry, well, you know how it is. You might just grab any old thing. People break their diets, and this is why people who diet, they're told not to go overboard. Don't try to cut out all food if you're trying to diet, because you'll end up binging. Angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry, but the question is, what are you going to do with that anger? Anger is just a normal emotional state. What will you do with it? If we don't deal with anger properly, we either start getting violent, we say things we shouldn't say to people, or if we bury it, we get indigestion and all sorts of stress-related physical conditions, get resentful and bitter, and life just looks bad all around. Lonely. Everybody's lonely to some degree because we're made for more than we experience in this world. If we're not careful, we start looking for the wrong kind of companionship. And this is what happens to people in the online world. People are filling themselves with virtual substitutes for friendship. Tired, we can see that. People, when they're tired or when they think they need a break, they often do things that make their exhaustion worse. Now they go off into an activity that's actually not refreshing them. Okay, so it's true that hunger and all these vulnerabilities make us susceptible to the attack of the evil one. But it's also true that fasting makes us stronger. Why? Because when we're fasting, we're deliberately denying ourselves the satisfaction of our natural appetites. And we're in charge. Now, our hunger is not in charge. You see the difference? When we fast, and that's what Jesus was doing. He was deliberately refraining from the food that he could have legitimately eaten. There's nothing wrong with eating. But he was deliberately disciplining our human nature. His human nature didn't need to be disciplined. It was in perfect order. But he was disciplining our human nature to show this is part of the process of overcoming temptation. It's not the same as just finding out that we're hungry because we worked all day and we didn't eat properly, and then all of a sudden we binge. That's not the same thing at all. When that happens, hunger's in charge of us. When we're fasting, we're in charge of our hunger. So Lent is telling us to be smart about ourselves. It's not telling us to put ourselves in vulnerable condition. It's telling, the Lenten practices are telling us to be in charge, to enter into the battle with the confidence, not that we can win on our own, but the confidence that Jesus has gained victory for us already. I've seen a couple of commentaries or articles applying the terrible tragedy in Ukraine to the journey of Lent, because there's a battle going on there, as you know, and the people of Ukraine are facing an evil enemy. Putin and the Russian army have invaded Ukraine. Well, it is comparable to the Christian life. We're not completely innocent, but we are attacked by evil, much worse than Putin, much more clever, much stronger than Putin. People have been talking about how vulnerable Ukraine was because their army is nowhere near as powerful as the Russians. But people are also saying they're doing an extraordinary job of resisting the Russian onslaught, which is beautiful to see and something we should be supporting as in our prayers. But the spiritual battle is even more important for us. And we are even weaker before Satan than the Ukrainians are before the Russians. So what hope do we have of victory? That's why we need this gospel. We have hope of victory, not because we can muster up all this great power, but because Jesus Christ has taken on this battle before we even entered it. And he's already won. In fact, he's completely demolished the kingdom of darkness. It's not even hard for him. So it's not as if we're under that big a threat, as long as we're united with Christ. So as we enter into Lent, we take on the disciplines. We recognize that we're in a desert. We recognize that we're in a battle. We recognize that we are going to be tempted repeatedly, but we are not intimidated because the Lord is on our side. We're not journeying by ourselves in the desert. We're going with Christ into the desert. So that today's psalm is a beautiful one. If you want to do any spiritual reading today, return to Psalm 91. Be with me, Lord, when I am in trouble. Be with me, Lord, when I'm tempted. You're the one who cares for me. You don't let me be caught by the evil one. No evil shall befall me, no affliction. His angels are watching over us. They don't let us suffer unnecessarily. They don't let us fall if we are relying on the Lord. The Lord says, because he clings to me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he acknowledges my name. In other words, rely on the Lord. Rely on the strength and the victory of the Lord. And we will be able to journey through this valley of tears and come out victorious.